So it's something called the Oxford Comma Rule. Now, whatever you think about the Oxford Comma Rule, I hope I don't offend you by saying this. On one level, it doesn't really matter, does it, whether you punctuate it with a comma before the and or not. But sometimes, when people are reading the book of Galatians, a book in which Paul spends a significant amount of time unfolding one central truth of the Christian faith in real detail, sometimes, when people look at this book, they can feel in a similar way. That maybe Paul is making a big fuss about something that perhaps doesn't really matter as much as we might feel. But actually, Paul really, really cares about this truth because it's really, really important because God really wants us to understand why this truth of being justified by faith alone is so very important and so very central. It is so important and so central that Paul will spend basically half of Galatians, the book of six chapters, driving home this one central point in lots and lots of different ways. And he will do that because this wonderful truth of being right with God by faith alone is really at the heart of the Christian faith. Because what is at stake when we think about being right with God by faith alone is peace with the God of heaven, a place in heaven that will last for all of eternity. And that's a huge thing, isn't it? It's a huge thing. This truth of being right with God by faith alone matters so much that when false teachers are coming into this church in these churches in Galatia, and teaching Christians that they should add something to faith alone, Paul is going to write a letter persuading them as hard as he can, as clearly as he can, that they should not be led astray by these false teachers. This truth of being right with God by faith alone matters so much that in the first two chapters up to this point in Galatians, Paul will have spent lots of time telling us that he came to receive this truth from God and not from other people. That's why it matters so much. This truth matters so much that in the passage before the one we read this morning, Paul tells us how he opposed Peter, who was a leading apostle, when his actions were undermining this truth that we're right with God by faith alone. And so this morning, what I'd like us to do is to look together at verses 15 to 21 in Galatians chapter 2 and see how these verses really summarise the centre of the Christian faith and how in many ways they summarise the whole message of the book of Galatians. And we're going to see why they matter so much to each one of us here this morning. We're going to see three things with these verses. A key point in verses 15 and 16, a welcome objection in verses 17 to 20, and then a simple summary in verse 21. So we start first of all with a key point in verses 15 to 20. We'll know that the good communication, whether written or spoken, always involves telling people what you're going to say before you get into the detail of what you want to unpack and explain to people. And if you want to know what Paul is going to spend half of Galatians unpacking, well, it's there for us in verses 15 and 16. Particularly there in verse 16 where he says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in that simple sentence, there are loads of important ideas packed in there that we need to understand in order to see what Paul is driving at, this central truth, this key point. And the first idea we need to unpack is this word, justified. What does it mean, this word, justified? Well, justification, being justified, is a legal term, and it has to do with whether someone has a right standing in a court. So the picture that Paul wants us to have in our minds as we read Galatians 2 verse 16 is of a courtroom where a person has been charged with a crime, the evidence is laid before the courts, and then a judgment is made as to whether that person is guilty or innocent of the charge that's been brought there before the courts. And if the court finds the person to be innocent, then they have been justified. They have been declared to be in the right. And so Paul wants us to have this idea of a legal courtroom in our minds, and then apply that to our relationship with the God of heaven, where the great question is, are we innocent or guilty when judged according to God's perfect standard? I think we all agree this morning that is no small question, is it? It's no small question. You know, it's not like whether there should be a colour there on the punctuation of the 50 pence piece, whether it should follow the Oxford comma rule. It's massive. Because remember what's at stake. Peace with God, a place in heaven that will last for all of eternity. Because one day, that picture of a courtroom is going to be our experience in reality. Because we'll all stand before the God of heaven one day. And it will be like that courtroom where the question will be whether we are justified, whether we are innocent of sin and good enough for heaven. And so if that's what's at stake here, we might ask the question, how then can we be justified? How then can we have this right standing before God? And in verse 16, Paul gets into two more big ideas, because he lays before us two paths, two routes we could follow in order to try and have a right standing before God. And therefore, as in verse 16, he says, a person is not justified by the works of the law, that's one path, but through faith in Jesus Christ, that's the other possible path. And Paul is already going to tell us that one route, being justified through the works of the law, is impossible. Because to follow the works of the law means keeping all of the law, not just few laws around food or circumcision, it's everything. To follow the works of the law means that we have to offer perfect, 100% all the time, personal, we have to do it, perpetual, that is ongoing obedience. It calls us to a standard that we can't keep. And you know, what's really astonishing is that people seek to be right with God by following the works of the law. Now, how do we do that? Well, I think most of us, we know that we're not perfect people. And what normally happens is we take that perfect standard that we know is there, and we try to lower it down to convince ourselves that the bar is a bit lower than it actually is. But whenever someone does that, God always shows them the standard is higher than they think. Elsewhere in the Bible, in one of the Gospels, in Matthew 19, there is a rich young man who comes to Jesus, and he is seeking to have a right standing before God by the works of the law, what he does. And so he comes to Jesus and asks him a crucial question. He says, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? What route is he trying to follow? The works of the law. He wants to do something. So how does Jesus answer him? He says, well, you know the commandments. You know God's law. What are the commandments? And the rich young man lists out these commandments. And he says, I've kept them all from my youth. What does Jesus say to him? Does he say, well done, you've been justified, you've kept the commandments? No, he doesn't, does he? He puts his finger on the one thing in this man's life, because he knows his heart perfectly. He puts his finger on the one thing in his life where he is failing to keep the commandments of God. The place where it is most obvious in that sense. And it's in his money. His money has become an idol to him. And so Jesus says, go and give your money away to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. You will be right with God. You will be justified in that sense. What happens? Well, the man goes away sad. because he's not prepared to do it. That young man was trying to deceive himself into thinking that he had done enough, and Jesus shows him that he has been believing a lie. Now friends, if you are trying to pursue a right standing with God by the works of the law, that is always going to fail. And you will never have any peace. You will never have any certainty of eternal life. Because you will never know that you have done enough. And ultimately, when you stand before God, your keeping of the works of the law will never have met the standard. And you will not be justified. Paul says it here. God says it to you in his words. You'll be judged for your sin. And that's one path. And if you're on that path this morning, God says to you, do not seek to be right with me by the works of the law. Because there is another way. There is a better way. There is a way in which you can have that right standing. And praise God, there is another way. And the good news that Paul wants us to know and to trust and to treasure is that Christ came to make us right with God. That's the other route he laid before us. Jesus came to offer a life of personal, perfect, perpetual, ongoing obedience to the law of God. And he did that for us. So that when Jesus died, not only was our sin taken by him if we trust in him, and he was punished in our place if we believe in him, but that his life of perfect and total obedience was given to us if our faith is in him. And all of that comes to us, that amazing gift comes to us, verse 16, through faith, and through faith alone. Not by actions, not by the keeping of the law. And friends, that's the best news in all the world, because it means on that day when you and I stand in the divine courtroom before the God of heaven, if we are trusting in Christ and in Christ alone, then two things have already happened. All the penalty that God requires for our sin has been settled at the cross because Jesus has paid for it. And then all the perfect obedience that God requires from us has been offered by Christ. And that means that we can be justified by faith. And so God will say, come and enter into that everlasting rest of heaven because of what Christ has done for you. But does Paul really believe this? Or is he a hypocrite? We can all see hypocrisy a long way off. And Paul tells us, but not only is this true, he tells us that is what he has done in his own experience, because he says, before he became a Christian, he devoted his life to trying to be justified by the works of the law. If anyone could do it, he could. That's what he's pointing to in verse 15, when he says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. He's saying, I was a Jew, I had all the privileges that came from being one of God's special people. I knew all of God's law, he probably memorized most of it. And he tried to keep it, but he found it was impossible to keep. And so he says, end of verse 16, we also, this is what we have done personally, have believed in Christ Jesus, that we have been justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Now we know in life, don't we, that it's wise to learn from people who have been through something and experienced it already. It's something that I say as a parent to my children very often. Learn from me because I've been through these experiences. And Paul is saying, learn from me, I've been through this experience. Peter and Paul were in the very best possible place to keep the law. But they couldn't do it. So Paul says, don't go down that path. It will lead you to despair today and judgment in the future. And that's why he lays before us this glorious truth that you and I can have a standing, a place, security with the God of heaven by faith in Christ alone. I wonder, is that your experience this morning? Are you turning from that path of trying to be justified by the works of the law? Are you resting in Christ and in Christ alone? And this truth of being made right by Christ alone and what he has done on the cross has so many practical implications for our lives. And I want to think about two just briefly together. I want to think about how this affects how we feel that others see us, and how it makes us safe for all of eternity. One of the reasons why Paul introduces this truth here is to answer why Peter's actions were so wrong in not eating with the Gentiles. Peter was committing a grave error when he would only eat with Jewish Christians and withdrew from Gentile Christians. And that was wrong because it was a denial of the gospel that brings us together by faith alone. But also, part of what was going on with Peter was a fear of other people. A fear of man. He was concerned about how some other people would view him if he was eating with the Gentiles. He was too concerned about what others thought, and that led him to act in wrong ways. And that's another reason why Paul brings his truth of justification here by faith alone, because Peter needed to hear it. It had something to say to Peter's fear of others, and it has something to say to our fears of others as well. Because the free acceptance of God in Christ sets us free from the need to perform to gain the approval of others. Whether that's at work, or at church, or even with our friends and our families. If we have been accepted by faith alone by the God of heaven, then we don't need to wear a mask to pretend to be what we're not, because through Christ and because of Jesus, we've been accepted as we are in him. The most important person in all the universe has declared how he thinks about us for all of eternity in the Lord Jesus, and that frees us from the fear of others. So this truth affects our lives each day and how we see ourselves before others, but also affects us on the biggest of days. J. Gresham Machen was a man who taught the Bible in America. He gave his life to teaching pastors and Bible teachers about how to understand God's word and to teach God's word to others. He was a clever guy. He could hold his own in academic discussions and debates. He loved the book of Galatians, and he loved the truth of justification by faith alone. Not just because it was true, because he knew it was, but also because of what it meant in his life personally. He used to spend his breaks over summer and Christmas visiting churches all around America and preaching to encourage them. So travel around and try to encourage them in the Lord as he preached God's words. And one Christmas vacation, he traveled to North Dakota to visit the churches. North Dakota is about as far north as you get in the States. And in winter, it's very cold. And as he was helping the churches, he caught pneumonia. So before the age of antibiotics to deal with these things as well as we could. And so he was there in hospital. His body wasn't able to fight the infection. And as he lay in his hospital bed dying, he knew that he would soon be passing into eternity and coming into the divine courtroom. So he picked up a pen and paper. There were no mobile phones or internet at that time. He took his pen and his paper and he wrote a letter to his dear friends, John Murray, to say goodbye. And his final words in his letter to John Murray were these: "So thankful for Christ's perfect life, would be lost without it. Would be lost without it." On the day in which he knew he was passing into eternity, he had confidence, he was safe, because he was resting in Christ and Christ alone. Friends, is that your experience this morning? If it is, then just like Machen, you can be safe for all eternity because of Jesus Christ. So we've seen a key point to grasp, and it's a key point. Now we move secondly onto a welcome objection. A welcome objection. If you have, it's in verses 17 to 20, if you have experience in teaching others, you will know that there are times when someone raising a particular question when you're teaching them shows they're beginning to grasp what you're saying. And although you have answers to their question and the objection they're going to bring, it's actually a helpful question because it shows things are starting to come together in their minds about what you're trying to communicate. And when it comes to this glorious truth of justification by faith alone, there is an objection or a question people bring up that shows that we're starting to understand all the things this truth means. This truth of justification by faith alone was brought out powerfully to light by a man called Martin Luther during the Reformation. And one of Luther's opponents was the Duke of Saxony. And he said this about this truth of justification by faith alone. It's the objection people often bring. He said, "It's a great doctrine to live, but it's a lousy doctrine to live with. It's a great doctrine to die by, but it's a lousy doctrine to live with." And that was one of the main problems that people have with what Paul is teaching here, because what they're saying is, if it's really true that we're accepted by faith in Christ and nothing else, then won't that create a kind of chaos? Because people can do anything and they'll be forgiven. That's probably what Paul is getting to at verses 17 and 18, which are tricky to translate. But he's saying, if you endeavour to be justified by faith in Christ, then you have to admit that you're a sinner and to give up on trying to do good to gain God's approval, to be right with God for eternity. And so if you, then doesn't that mean that Christ's death makes it okay to do wrong things? Has Christ then in some way promoted sin? By his work, he's become a servant of sin in that sense. Does Jesus encourage sin through free forgiveness by faith alone? Do we see what's coming up here in people's minds? Now that's wrong, and we'll see why in a minute. But let's just see how helpful it is to raise this question. Whenever I'm talking with someone about the gospel, if someone raises this objection and says, well, if that's true, then you can live anyway, there's a little bit inside me, a little cry that goes, and a silent hallelujah. Because what it shows is they're starting to process the massive implications of this truth. That it means that any sin could be forgiven by trust in Jesus. And it was one of the reasons why so many people were opposed to justification by faith during the Reformation, because they were worried about what it would mean for society. Because to that point, millions of people had been kept in check by a fear of judgment. And if you were a ruler, justification by the works of the law was quite helpful to keep people in order, because people were afraid and therefore would act accordingly. And so there was a real fear that if too many people believed this truth, they would sin boldly and it would be chaos. Now, God has an answer to that question, but it is not to make people live in fear of eternal judgment and give them no hope of certainty of eternal life. It's something much more powerful than that. Look at verses 19 and 20. Paul tells us why Christ's work on the cross does not promote sin. He says, verse 19, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I died to the law as a way of being right with God, of being justified, But now I have been called to live to God. I have a new master and Lord in that sense. And Paul goes even further than that in verse 20. Because Paul is going to say that coming to faith in Christ, in doing that, something changes in us such that we no longer want to live in sin. There is a change inside of a human person where they come to faith in Jesus such that their heart changes and then their life changes. And that is the answer to this objection, this question. Because justification by faith is not what is called a legal fiction. Now, what's a legal fiction? A legal fiction happens when something that is not true is treated as if it is true. The best example of a legal fiction would be the process of adoption, particularly in the ancient worlds. In Roman culture, it was essential for every man who owned property to have a male heir, because women could not inherit property in the ancient worlds. So if a man did not have a male son, he would adopt another man to become his heir. It might be the son of another family. But in order for that to work legally, that new son, that new man, needed to be treated as if he was a biological son, even though everyone knew that he wasn't. So the Romans said that this process of adoption, of making a son your heir, was so strong that actually it was like they became the biological son of this man. Now, ultimately, nothing has happened inside of that man who's been adopted. They haven't had a reprogramming of their DNA, as it were, to make them into a biological son. But legally, that's how they were treated, and that's a legal fiction. Nothing has changed physically in the person, but they're treated as if something has changed in them. It is not just that God treats us like we have not sinned, and we receive the perfect life of Christ. Something far deeper than that happens, because by faith and through the Spirit, God unites us to Jesus Christ. And because we are joined to Christ, we receive all the good things that come through Jesus' perfect life. And there's a change in us that comes about because of that union with Jesus. And that is going to have profound implications for how we live. That's what Paul is pointing to in verse 20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Friends, that verse means that if you're a Christian, you are not just a sinner saved by grace, and that's the end of it. You are united to Jesus. His Spirit lives in you, and that changes everything. It means you are a new person in Jesus Christ. And it means that being justified by faith in Christ doesn't create chaos where people will do all kinds of evil things because they know they'll be forgiven whatever they do. Because when God justifies someone by faith and unites them to Christ by his Spirit, he makes them a new person. With Christ in their hearts and the power of sin broken in their lives. And so they live differently, not because they want to gain acceptance before the God of heaven by the works of the law, but because Jesus lives in them, and they're new. And that brings about so much more change than fear of judgments. Now just step back for a second and let that thought sink in of what it means for our lives. We all have sin struggles, and there are times when it can feel like we just can't break through. Maybe it feels in your life like there's a bungee cord that's attached to a particular sin, and then it straps you, and you try and break away from it, and it feels like you're always pulled back to it. And sometimes those battles that we have with particular sins are the same things we struggle with before we became Christians. And one of the lies that we can believe is that we're never going to change because we think that change is impossible. We must see that lie for what it is. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. So the next time you find yourself struggling with temptation and it feels like you're going to give in, if you are trusting in Jesus, then I encourage you to go to verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2 and make that verse personal to you. You know, we're often told, aren't we, that we shouldn't put ourselves immediately in a Bible verse. And there's a good reason for that, because often that's done the wrong way. But actually, in Galatians 2 verse 20, if you're a Christian, it's good and it's right that you put yourself personally right in the middle of that verse. That you make it personal, because if you're a believer, it describes you. I have been crucified with Christ. Matthew has been crucified with Christ. It was no longer Matthew who lives, but Christ who lives in him. And remember what that verse means. It means you can change so that the struggles of yesterday do not need to be the sins of today, because you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. So a welcome objection. A welcome objection. You bring up and it opens up this glorious truth of the change that comes in the Lord Jesus by the Spirit. So we've seen Paul's central point. We've seen his welcome objection. And now thirdly and finally, a simple summary. Verse 21. Sure, perhaps you sat through a lecture or a talk or maybe even a sermon when a speaker said lots of things that you perhaps found hard to grasp, and then they came to the end of their sermon or their talk and they gave a very simple summary and it all came together for you. Well, Paul does that for us in verse 21, not because what he's been saying has been unclear in that sense, but to really drive it home to our hearts. Because he summarises the end of verse 21 what he's been saying in verses 15 to 20. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. That's his simple summary. What Paul is saying is that if God had known that we were able to keep the law, to be right with him, then he wouldn't have sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross. The Father would not have allowed the Son to go through the agony of the cross if people could have tried a bit harder and been justified by the works of the law. Because if that was possible, then Christ died for nothing. And Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died to do everything that you and I need to know God. He died to do what we could not do. And for the Galatians, that was why this dangerous teaching that said you need to become a Jew as well as have faith in Christ to be right with God was so wrong. Because Christ plus something means that Jesus died for nothing. And that is what justification by faith means to each one of us every day. Because this truth is not just how we enter into a relationship with God. It is the way we are kept in our relationship with God each and every day. But there are so many ways in which we fall back into seeking to be justified and right with God by works of the law. And we need to resist that, friends, and keep on going back to Jesus. So when we take our performance and how we've lived each day, and we come to the end of the day and we think, Lord, I've not lived as I should. I've broken your commandments today. In my heart, I've hated people. I've murdered people on the inside in that sense. I haven't lived the life I should have lived. And I come to the end of the day, and if I take how I've lived today and I add that to faith in Christ for my standing before God, then I've taken something and I've added it to Jesus for our standing before God. And that's Jesus plus something, which means Jesus' death was for nothing. But sometimes we can do it with our evangelistic efforts. We can take how many times we have shared the gospel in a week and add it to faith in Christ alone as the basis of our standing before God. And we do that, Christ plus something. And it means that Jesus' death was for nothing. Or we can take our achievements in the work, in the home, we can tally up how well we've done this week in our callings. Whether it's in the workplace, or the home, or in school, or you're in university. And if we add those things to faith in Christ as the basis of our standing before God, that is Christ plus something. And it means that Jesus' death was for nothing. So friends, the next time you are tempted to do that, and to take anything and add it to faith in Christ as the basis of your standing before God, remember, Jesus came to do all of that through his perfect life and through his sacrificial death. And that is what it means to find freedom in Christ. To not wake up each morning and think, I need to do today to be right with God. Instead, I am called to enjoy a relationship that comes through Jesus and then offer a life of obedience because I have been changed through the Spirit and a new creation in the Lord Jesus. And that is why the Duke of Saxony was wrong. That justification by faith is both a great truth to die by and a great truth to live by. Because it frees you from the need to do each day and leads you into a life of settled, happy, and joyful faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.